Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi there, welcome to New Life Live, and I am shocked that it is October the 30th, 2020, joining me two shocking people themselves, Becky Brown and Dr. Alice Benton.
Hi, hello, guys. Hello.
I mean, can you believe here, there, well, where'd the year go?
It's where gone. Did the year go?
And this is such a spiritual time, you know, Halloween and everything, but it's not really. But I just, and I don't know what kids are going to do for trick or treat, you know, watch kids do it on TV from movies in the past.
They're going to Zoom it.
Yeah, I don't know. But anyway.
And on top of that, we're going to add one more hour to 2020.
Yes. And I think it was Lisa Boyan, the producer, said, yeah, a lot of people don't want to add the hour.
You're no, they really don't.
They just don't need another hour here in 2020. But, you know, here's the good news. There's always good news with bad news. This pandemic may have made you aware of a couple of problems you weren't quite dealing with. And you could decide, okay, let's get serious and let's go deal with these issues. And if you want to, we can help you with that at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
So, you know, one of the things that COVID has done, it's a clarifier. You know, you get to figure out real quick what's real important. And I don't mean the virus itself. I just mean everything that goes in with the pandemic. At the beginning of the year, there were so many things on our schedules. Right? Like, it was just like, how in the world is this year ever going to even take place?
Right.
And poof,
it is.
Schedules are clear. And, you know, but the other part I think, too, is we're, if you haven't made this awareness yet, we have some control issues.
No kidding.
I mean, and our control issues are being tested on all fronts. It's, you know, everything from, what do you mean I can't just go to the store whenever I want to? Or what do you mean I can't just get into the building without, you know, fully putting on a Tyvek suit and everything else. But I just think, you know, if you allow these things to bring clarity, it can bring you peace. But if you resist against it, all you're going to be is just irritable.
So true. So true. These are tough times. Yeah, Alice, go ahead.
There's the tough but empowering realization with that control issue that I can only learn to gain control of myself and my reaction to all of these things. So if your family members and the situation or the government decisions are driving you crazy, be empowered to know that you can do something about how you think and how you feel about it. And gaining that power will change the way you respond to these outside forces that are upsetting your life.
Mm-hmm. Very, very good point. Well, we're glad you're with us. And when we come back from the break, we're going to go right to the phones. I want to say this. We're so grateful that you're still with us here on October 30th. And just next week, we're going to elect the next president.
Well, I don't know. Bring that up.
I don't know. The way the votes are supposed to be counted, it may not know till, well, we may never know. But anyway, I did this video, and I'd love for you to see it on acceptance, because we all, no matter what, we have to accept whatever it is that comes our way through this election. Now, you don't have to, but what a miserable way to live when you're trying to fight the reality that's out there. So I hope that you'll go to newlife.com and click on it. It's all about post-election acceptance, PEA, you could say. There you go.
I don't even know what to say to that.
I don't either. Don't need to say anything.
Well, listen, one thing about acceptance, it doesn't mean agreement. And
right.
I think that's one thing that you really do a great job of clarifying. And you can find that video on YouTube as well as newlife.com. on all of our socials. And we hope that you follow us there and subscribe to our YouTube. Steve does Going Deeper at 5 o'clock every day. Yep. You're going to learn so many good things by listening to New Life.
We'll be back right after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here. Dr. Alice Benton. Alice, what book are you working on? You're going to actually be a published author.
Yay.
With you, I have the honor of co-authoring with you Understanding and Loving Our Teens in a Screen-Saturated World. It is fascinating doing the research and the work on this book. I'm loving it.
Anybody saying, okay, keep these kids off screens? I mean, you can't keep them off screens. Mm-hmm. They go to school, they all get an iPad, all this stuff. Becky, the book you're working on.
I just turned in the manuscript for 100 Days of Freedom from Fear and Anxiety.
Man, we need it.
Yeah, it was a great project to work on and getting ready to start 100 Days of Freedom from Anger. What a great follow-up, right?
No kidding. Mm-hmm. No kidding. Well, I'm glad you're doing that, and we're just developing resources that we think are going to meet your needs. And if you haven't seen the resources we have, you go to newlife.com or call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And how about we talk with Dana? Flint, Michigan is where she's from. WSNL, Saturday Night Live on radio or something. Anyway, hi, how are you today? Dana, what's going on?
I am doing pretty good. I called you guys, first of all, because I listened to you on my lunch, and there have been so many things that have just struck the tenderness in my heart.
Mm.
But my problem in a nutshell is my brother was hit by a train here in this area about 2 years ago, and his mentally retarded son is living with my mother, his grandmother, who is in the middle to late stages of dementia. And he is coming off of, he was living on the streets when my brother was killed. He's strung out on crystal meth and crack cocaine, and he drinks. And he's very volatile. And recently, he has come to the point where he is just saying, I want to take my life, I want to die. And he has called an ambulance both times and had himself taken to the hospital. Now, he was probably inebriated, and they released him the same day instead of giving him any kind of help or counseling. And I'm so emotional.
That's okay.
So thank you for taking my call. I need the resources to help this man. Mm-hmm. He's 35. He is mentally retarded. His mom and dad allowed him to not go on from the high school that he graduated from and not have the life skills that he needs to be able to function.
Okay, now how old is he again?
35.
He is 35.
And so the first thing I always want to know is what does the state have available for people that aren't in trouble with the law, but they need services. And he needs services, is what he needs. And he sounds like he...
I have some ideas. Okay. My first concern, I want to go back to your mom. Is your mom safe? Is your mom safe?
I would believe better than 90% of the time. Now, I go in every day. I make sure that she has gotten her pills and that she is fed. She's, you know, clean, you know, that kind of thing.
All right. But
now,
you had mentioned... You had mentioned he was living with her. So the reason why I asked if your mom was safe, I think going back to what you said, Steve, about state, there's a possibility if he is eligible for state resources, he would have to have a legal guardian. He would have to be willing to do the assessment and all of that. There's a whole big process in that. I don't know, Dana, if you want to be that person, but you can.
My husband has said absolutely not, because I have guardianship of a five-year-old. I'm 60, and I have guardianship of a five-year-old.
Right.
Plus, I'm taking the bulk of the care with my mother.
Right.
You know,
so here's so if that's off the table, and that's understandable, I think you can't do much for him that he's not willing to do for himself. And there's a lot of complicated, you know, things that go along with that. But I would be more concerned about the safety of your mom, helping him get to resources. But you're going to have to, you know, I mean, you can't make anybody do anything. And that's where the challenge is. And he's desperate, so he needs some help. And maybe you can point him in the direction of state services to get, you know, into, you know, some sort of a job program or treatment program. There are some options out there. But Alice, what are you thinking?
Ooh, Dana, your family has been through and is still in too much tragedy. And you might be one of the sole voices speaking out for those in your family that need help, but that are also hurting one another. I hope some of this can be taken off your shoulders and put on to one of the men in the family, your husband or another man related to your nephew, who can take the lead on advocating for this young man to get help, to find out if he's at all willing to. The fact that he called the ambulance for himself twice,
interesting, huh?
There's a little hope there that he realizes he needs assistance. And so a man that's willing to come alongside of him, to talk with him about going to groups, attending a group with him, looking into treatment programs with him, I don't think 90% safety for your mother is sufficient.
No,
and
I
am afraid he's a danger in your mother's home. And so if he's not willing to get the help, then you'd have to probably turn to Adult Protective Services, and they could help intervene both with your elderly mother, but also with your 35-year-old nephew. Because of his mental disabilities, he would probably qualify for the kind of services that Becky is talking about, but if he's unwilling to access them himself, then it's Adult Protective Services that will go in and evaluate and perhaps, hopefully, make some requirements on him.
It would really be sad, though, that, you know, 90% of the time it's okay, but it's those 10% that just takes one for her to be really hurt. And you never know about the verbal stuff that might be going on there that she might even be embarrassed to tell you about.
Exactly. And, you know, Dana, I want you to take care of yourself, too.
Yeah.
You know, you've got guardianship of a five-year-old. You need good support around you, and I would encourage you to seek some support as you do these great things for other people.
Yeah. I'll send you Take Your Life Back. I hope that that's going to be helpful to you. I'm glad that you called 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you need some help, let's go to Robert in Atlanta, Georgia. Hello, Robert. How are you today?
Funny, so?
Yeah, I'm doing all right. What's going on in your life?
My oldest daughter is in a very abusive relationship, and we just found out that it's worse than what we thought. The young man has pulled a firearm on her, thrown her out the house, totaled her car, and she won't leave him. And when we speak to her, she just makes excuses like it's her fault, and we're just looking for some resources to help her out, because I feel maybe if she hears it from someone else that's going through these different problems, something might click and she leave this young man before she ends up dead.
Is she near you, Robert? Does she live near you?
No.
Okay.
No.
How far away is she?
She's out of state.
Okay. So, the hard part is just the things that you're saying that she's saying, she's under the spell of her abuser. You know, that it's her fault, that you don't understand, it's
well,
okay.
She's not saying that she told a cousin, and a cousin thought it was that bad to tell us, and then once we confronted her with it, she came clean with everything.
Okay, so, and do you have any idea why she wouldn't want things to be different?
Well, she says that sex has her trapped.
Well, what does that mean?
She goes back for the sex.
Okay, so if you were to offer some kind of counseling for her, do you think she would go?
I think she would.
Because she needs some help. And you'd have to be considered a female sex addict to be staying with someone that's pulled a gun on you just because of the sexual experience.
And Robert, if you try to take the tact of convincing her to leave him, it probably won't work as it hasn't worked so far, and she might align with him even more closely. But if you and her mother can take the bent that you know that she's hurting, she's in pain, and you know that you have been imperfect parents to her, but you want to get help with her, get help for her, even despite the distance. I'm thinking about her mother offering to take her to our Restore Weekend, where she gets time, even online, where she gets some time to be with other safe women, that she gets a taste of the support and the strength there to be able to get help, even just for her own emotional struggles, maybe the influence she needs.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, what I was thinking was that when you were talking about that, Alice, I thought you were going to say the two of you need to align against him. That maybe the father needs, Robert, you as the father need to talk to the man and say, listen, I know this is happening. You're not treating her right. I mean, you talk about this all the time, Steve, where, you know, you have a man-to-man conversation. Now, I don't think anybody that has threatened your life is ever going to be safe. I just don't think that that's going to switch.
I think that's right.
And I, you know, the only thing I would suggest, Robert, is you get in touch with the local authorities and let them know that a threat has been made on her life and let them take the next step. And you can offer the support like what Alice is suggesting, and I think that's very helpful. But because there's going to be another problem. This isn't going to be the end of this if she doesn't address this issue.
Yeah. I hope that's helpful to you, Robert. And let me just send you this great book, Healing is a Choice. It could be a great guide for her to follow. Maybe we can find a counselor. Hold on, we want to talk to you about maybe there's a some kind of scholarship to Restore. But boy, does she ever need help. And that's the first thing, just help. Not leaving him, just help, just like Becky said. Let's go to Jennifer, Arlington, Texas, listening on KWRD. Jennifer, you're on with Becky and Alice and Steve. How could we help you today? Jennifer, are you there? Yeah, hi.
Yes, I'm here. Hi.
Tell us what's going on in your life today, Jennifer. What's happening?
Okay, so this is the situation. Actually, what has happened is that my entire family has turned their back on me, and they're always blaming me for everything. When, in fact, I've had such a traumatic childhood coming up through the years and making bad decisions that I had to take care of myself, and there was nobody to take care of me. And now I just keep crying constantly because both of my children have turned their back on me.
Oh, my goodness.
I miss them, but they don't want to talk to me. Nobody wants to talk to me. So
why do you think that is? Has anybody told you exactly why they wouldn't want to talk with you? What's that about?
Well, I mean, my daughter doesn't want to talk to me because when she was growing up, she held on to her too tight because there was nobody else. And she basically went through a lot of my problems with me, and once she went into college, she just didn't want to be with me anymore. And then she just cut me off completely, and she doesn't want to talk to me anymore.
Okay.
And then my son, because his father turned his back on me, and then he went to live with his father, and then they both just say horrible things about me. And
we'll help you right after this.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back, and we're talking with Jennifer.
Mm-hmm. Jennifer, it sounds like you got some relationship challenges.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I would be asking and considering, I'd ask them, tell me the thing that has hurt you the most in dealing with me. And then I'd be working with a counselor on how to make that right with them, or some kind of attempt to make it right.
Have you done that, Jennifer? Have you talked to them about that?
I have, especially my daughter. I have. But she has totally cut me off now, that even if I called her, she wouldn't answer the phone.
Wow.
So
that's got to be so painful.
I have no connection at all. I haven't spoken to her in about 2 years.
Oh, wow. That's pretty big.
I don't even know if she's dead or alive. I don't know.
Jennifer?
Okay, so
I'm so sorry, Jennifer. Listen, when we are feeling abandoned, it's important for us to seek connection with somebody. And you're in an area where there are a lot of large churches, and I know there are a lot of things that are shut down right now, but if you have a church that you're already connected to, it's going to be important for you to find a body of support. Are you connected to a church locally?
I am.
Okay.
I am, and I have the support there, but it's just I can't stop crying because I don't know where they are.
Yes.
And I don't know how to get in touch with any of them. And they all cut me off completely.
And that's so sad.
Jennifer, you have been the innocent victim of so much heartbreak starting out in your family of origin. And as a child, there was nothing that you could do about that. And I'm going to say something difficult to hear. You have become, in your pain, your legitimate pain, you've become very emotionally needy. And I think your neediness has overwhelmed the few people that you turn to. And I suspect that that's what happened with your daughter. I think you overwhelmed her with your emotional needs, and you lean too heavily on her. And I'm afraid now that you're too isolated, and that with all your weeping, I imagine you're doing a lot of it, too much of it, on your own. And so your emotions are overwhelming, of course, to you as well. And this is heartbreaking to not even know your daughter's state right now. Now is the time, Jennifer, for you to do as much healing work as possible so that you can spread these emotional needs out amongst other peers, and you can reach out to other women to share your grief with them, so that when you have the next chance with your daughter, and I believe you will have a chance with her again, that you will be a more whole, a more healed woman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you're really stuck in the pain, then you kind of become a one-dimensional pain spreader, and so people run from that. I think it's important that we don't do that, that we resolve our pain so that we can be with other people without it being about my pain.
Well, and the future is not going to be good if there is just more pain. The daughter's not going to want to be in a relationship if she doesn't feel like she can help resolve this. And so, Jennifer, I would just encourage you, if you're not working with a counselor, you need to work with somebody on this. And then as far as the whereabouts of your children, that's kind of easy to figure out as well. I mean, you could hire somebody to find them, or even do a Google search. I mean, in this day and age, people can't get too far without somebody finding them. But I know that's just like a tip of the iceberg kind of response, but you really do need support in a healing process so that when that day comes, just like Alice said, you'll be ready for that, and it'll be a healthy connection.
All right. I'm really glad that you called, and I'm going to send you healing as a choice. I hope that that will help in some particular way. And let's go to Tom, Las Vegas, Nevada. Hey, Tom, how are you today?
Fine, thank you.
Great. How can we help you?
Well, I'm a member of Sustained Victory, and we're discussing secondary boundaries, and we're just kind of trying to figure out get a handle on what are secondary boundaries, and it's kind of an important area in recovery, so trying to get a handle on.
Okay, and so maybe tell us what is a first boundary, first level boundary, not secondary, that you've set or that you're upholding with yourself?
Not viewing any pornographic material, not looking at anything that's pornographic, not following through with it, certainly not engaging any behavior that would result in viewing the pornography.
Okay. So, in the absence of pornography and being stimulated by pornography or the time that's there, there might be a temptation to maybe lust after somebody at work, let's say. So I might need a secondary boundary. And you know what? I'm not going to engage in conversation with anybody of the opposite sex for at least a year here till I get my feet on the ground. It's not that I'll never talk to another woman, but I'm just going to be safe because I haven't gotten over that thing of I still like to be fascinating to women. And so until I deal with that, I'm just not going to do it. That's kind of a secondary boundary. Then another would be I don't want to look at pornography on my phone, so I'm setting a boundary, not looking at pornography on my phone. My secondary boundary is I'm going to install some kind of filter. We'll get to it.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the Transformation Welcome Gift, which includes a personal-sized Life Recovery Bible, a Life Recovery Journal, and 5 Life Recovery Workbooks. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life Video Library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops.
I did go to Take Your Life Back. That's been immensely helpful to me. That's why I continue to support the ministry with the hope that it, not only am I helping my own situation, that I'm helping others as well.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Really glad you're with us here today. A gift of any amount will send you a beautiful calendar. And there's no reason to set a secondary boundary with that calendar. It is perfect. But Tom, I want to give you an example, and then I'm going to turn it over to Alice, and she'll give you some official stuff. When I used to smoke, I worked in a clothing store at college. Everybody started smoking, and I did. It was horrible, very difficult to quit. And so here's what I had to do to quit. I had 3 levels of boundaries. Number 1, I said that I would never have a cigarette on my lips ever again. Okay? That's the boundary. So, because when you don't smoke, then somebody goes, oh, that won't hurt anything. Okay. So I said, I won't do that. Second thing was, I will never, ever touch a package of cigarettes again. So that those were 2 secondary boundaries that helped me with the first one of I'm not going to smoke anymore. So I had a second and a third. Guy left a pack of cigarettes in my car on the floorboard. I went and got ice tongs and I put it in the trash because I was committed to not, and I have not, touched a package of cigarettes ever since then. So we want to build a fortress so that we don't fall back into it. Alice and then Becky, what do you guys think?
Well, one of our speakers at Every Man's Battle is Jim Phyllis, and he defines secondary boundaries as those barriers that keep us safe from falling back into our addictive behavior. And so those warning signs that Steve is talking about is whether or not we hold to those safeguards that we have set in place. And I'll give another example of one. For me, it's when I start to get secretive in my head and I start keeping things to myself that I know my safe people would not approve of and would see as warning signs that I'm going down a bad path. So for me, it's secretiveness. Starting to keep secrets is my sign that I am relapsing.
I thought you were going to read his definition. Go ahead and read his definition, because it's pretty funny.
So Jim Phyllis's definition is that secondary boundaries are the fences we cross on our way to going off the cliff of acting out.
There you go.
Is that pretty clear, Tom?
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. And so my curiosity is, you know, how far are you into your recovery process?
8 years.
Wonderful.
Woo-hoo.
Okay. And how's it going for you?
It's going really, really well. But my wife is probably my most, as my best accountability or, yeah, accountability person. And having said that, though, you know, there's the other day, I got this message on my phone from this advertiser saying, you know, they're trying to sell a male enhancement products over the phone. Well, I don't even want to talk about that. I don't want to think about that stuff. So I told the person, thank you, but no thank you. But It still bothered my wife that I wasn't more forceful. Just, you know, not just no, but, you know, hell no, I don't want to touch this stuff, you know.
Right.
But,
so Go ahead. Finish what you're saying.
Not being forceful enough. My fence wasn't as high as it should have been at that
right.
moment.
Right. Okay, so do you even know what that even would look like? Because here's the short version. You get a message like that, you don't respond to it, you just delete it, and you tell your wife, I got this message and I deleted it, I didn't respond to it. The other part is, I don't know that it's the healthiest thing to have your wife be your accountability.
Exactly. That was where I was going to talk to you.
Yeah, because you know what? She's got her own healing to do, Tom, and part of your own, and you can talk to your guys in your group, and for the audience, Sustained Victory is our ongoing coaching support for the men that go through Every Man's Battle. You can talk to your guys about this, but your wife needs to be in the know, but she cannot be your accountability partner because there's this kind of slide into she becomes the guard, and she didn't need that. She needs you to be whole and healthy and a man of character without her having to, you know, question all of that.
And I think it would have been so great. I don't know what your response was, but, oh, wow, I'm going to talk to my sponsor about that, or I'm going to talk to my accountability partner, or I'm going to talk about that to my therapist. And so now she knows I've been heard, and he's going to look into it versus defend or whatever. But I love it that you're asking the question.
Yeah,
and,
I do too.
And I really think a secondary boundary might be having a sponsor, mentor, or therapist, something like that.
Yeah. I also want to encourage you, if she hasn't been to Restore, Tom, we've got one coming up in November. That might be a nice gift for her.
Sure would. That would be fantastic. All right, let's go to, how about we go to Ann from Vassar, Michigan, listening on WSNL. Didn't we just have a caller from WSNL?
Yeah, Michigan. Go Michigan. We love Michigan.
Ann, how are
Hello,
you?
Hello, Ann. Sorry.
I'm here, and it's like the same theme all day today, because my husband got mad because I kept accusing him of cheating because I got evidence of him cheating. And so he walked out on me on October 16th.
Okay, so what's the question for us then? He was unfaithful.
I just don't know what to do.
If I were you, just right off the bat, here's what I'd do. I mean, can you call him or write him a letter or anything?
No, I don't know where he's at. He went to our older son's, and I don't know. I think he's back up north, but I'm not for sure.
Ask your older son where he is.
Okay.
Maybe your older son knows. But I would do this. I would try to get in touch with him, letter, phone call, and say, okay, so I confronted you. You left. I assume it's with the person you were unfaithful with. I'm going to file for divorce unless you would give me any valid reason not to. And the only valid reason I could think of is he says, I can't believe you found me. I'm in this isolated treatment program where I don't talk to anybody. I'm trying to get my act together. I doubt that's what he's going to tell you. But I think you're wasting your time if you don't act and show him, hey, I count here. I have a mind of my own, and I'm not going to put up with somebody being unfaithful. And I'm sitting around waiting for them to come back home. Becky, what are you thinking?
Well,
Alice?
And I just want to know, when he left, how did you, like, what was the last conversation that you guys had?
We had a fight.
Mm-hmm.
And then I told him that he needed to go to every man's battle. And I told him if he went back up north, that we were all to go as a family and not just him by himself.
Okay. And you haven't heard from him?
He got mad. Huh?
You have not heard from him.
I have not heard a word from him at all, no.
Has anyone heard from him?
My son. He went to my son's house. My son knows where he's at.
Okay. So that's a whole other issue, though. It's like what Steve said. You got to have the conversation has to be had. What do you want to do? Like, you stay in, you go on. What are we going to do with this?
That's the problem, though. He wants a divorce.
Well, then I think
he's been wanting me out for 17 years now.
Oh. Okay, so you need to get a very, very...
So he does a double covenant on this marriage.
What do you mean, double covenant?
Well, before we even got remarried, because this is our second time going around, he made a covenant in front of God and I and him that underneath no circumstances was there to be a divorce in this marriage.
Okay, so you're actually using that as an excuse because you know that he broke the covenant. He broke your vows, and so no covenant exists between the two of you.
Okay.
Now let me ask you this. I mean, I'm just going to get really specific. Let's say you had a covenant with him, like you said, and he decided that every day for the next 30 days he's going to smash one of your fingers. Do you think you would have to honor, stay there, have your fingers smashed day after day? Come on, let's get real. There are certain things that would cause that agreement to be null and void. And even Jesus said, "It's you're not beholding if the other person is unfaithful." I think this double covenant stuff came up because he probably knew what was likely to happen, and he wanted you to sit around and wait for him. There are financial consequences when the divorce happens, and he needs to come face to face with that. And if that doesn't wake him up and bring him back home, then you're kind of wasting your time.
And I'm really worried about you. You sound so numb to me because you probably have had your fingers smashed by your husband and by other people for these 17 plus years. And in your numbness, I think that there is a tolerance and even a tentative plan to try to seek him out and get back together with him, even though he wants to keep beating you up emotionally.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back and we are feeling for Anne here and we want her to move forward with her life. Becky, you have another question for Anne?
My question, Anne, is after you heard what Alice said, what are you thinking?
Well, I mean, I don't want him back to be the same way he is now.
Right.
But I mean, financially, I know I can't support myself.
Okay, so you're saying that you're willing to stay married because of the financial part of it. Have you talked to a lawyer about, you know?
No, I have.
Okay, well, that might
no,
be your first.
Talked to a lawyer.
That might be your first call. Then I know that sounds pretty harsh, but your husband has left you, and you said when I asked you about if you were to ask him what do you want to do, he would say, "I want a divorce. I've wanted a divorce for 17 years." Either he's going to file for divorce or you will. And if you're concerned about finances, it is very important for you to take matters into your own hands to make sure that you do get a fair settlement. That sounds very harsh, and I know the audience is all going,
Not everybody.
Like, okay, well.
It is the time to protect yourself. You already mm-hmm. know your husband's mm-hmm. decision. He's been making the same decision, and it's been getting worse for 17 years. So mm-hmm. you know the kind of man he will come back and be yet again. So Becky is right. This is time to double down on your self-protection and gathering information and developing a plan B and a plan C for how will you financially survive without your husband.
Yep, and you know, I'll send you Worthy of Her Trust, and you'll see there's nothing in there that he's doing. But I believe when a guy like that leaves, after you've said don't leave, don't go up north, and he goes up north, there's your divorce.
Right.
Now, if you have to fill out some paperwork so that he's financially responsible here, then you're not really divorcing him. He has divorced you. He said, mm-hmm. I want a divorce. Mm-hmm. I'm not living with you.
He's had an affair,
yeah.
Like all the things. I would want Anne to go to Restore as well.
Yeah, let's see if we can get a scholarship for her to Restore. It could change everything in your life, literally. Final caller is Emma, Jacksonville, Florida. And she listens on the internet. Emma, I don't have a lot of time, but I did want to try to get to your call. How could we help you today?
Hi. First of all, I want to say I had the honor of going to Alaska with you and Henry Cloud 15 years ago.
That was a long time ago. Wow.
Yeah. But my
no wonder you're having struggles today.
No, my question is, I am so much further along. I love the Lord, but I still have a stronghold that creeps up of self-hatred. And now that I've had diabetes 47 years, so there's many physical problems, but I've always been a doer. And I was married twice to abusive people. My father was abusive to my mother. I stopped him from killing her twice when I was before 11. But I want to get rid of this self-hatred once and for all, because when I have to take care of my feet, for example, and that slows me down, I get very impatient, and I start hating myself.
I want to join you. So I want to be with you, like we were in Alaska together. So I would like you to convince me of why I should hate you too. Okay? So what is the evidence there that you're hateable? What's so bad about you that I should hate you? And then I can feel that self-hatred, but it'll be hatred toward you. So you should hate me because, what's the answer to that, Emma?
Kind of, one person, and I want to do more for the Lord, and so what if I have...
Okay, so I've asked you why I should hate you, and you just come up with this fabulous thing that you want to do more for the Lord. I do not hate anybody who wants to do more for the Lord. Okay, try again. Give me another thing that I should hate about you.
Why would you bother? I don't know. Who cares about me?
Okay, so the Bible says you are fearfully and wonderfully made, that God knit you together in your mother's womb. He says, I know the plans that I have for you. And he wants really good stuff for you. He says, Satan's going to come and kill and destroy, but I'm going to give you life mm-hmm. to the full. And I believe that Jesus didn't just die for me and Becky and Alice, but Jesus died for you. And I think you ought to honor that pain that Jesus went through and value the person he died for, you.
Yeah. Yeah,
Emma, you are not very hateable. You're just not very hateable. And so I know that it's deeper than the things that I'm talking about, But I really want you to see that there's another perspective, and a great Christian counselor, I think, could help you see yourself in a totally different way.
Well, and I think actually what you said earlier, Emma, about your history, there's been some trauma that you've experienced, and this is how it's manifesting itself. And so, yes, working with a counselor would be good. I also think EMDR, eye movement desensitization and reprocessing, would be very helpful, because you say that when you are, like if you're going for a walk and you can't go, that pain triggers that self-hatred. And that's kind of what, that's kind of the routine that your brain is in right now. And there is a way to disrupt that self-talk so that you can just feel the pain of your feet and be sad about what the diabetes is doing to your body. But you, it doesn't turn you into the worst person possible. Alice, do you have anything you want to add?
Emma, you have been force-fed a steady diet of hatred from these men in your life. And so it has taken root in you, and now it's turning you against you. And the way to neutralize what you have been fed all these years is to receive grace from other people around you. And so it's an ongoing process of what you're doing here with us, where you confess your struggle and your dark thoughts about yourself to other people. You receive understanding and grace from them, and it combats that hatred that has taken a hold. You probably also need to get angry at the perpetrators and to be able to express that anger with safe women that can understand you. And lastly, there's a spiritual battle that has been waging war against you and your family for probably for generations. And so I want you to start claiming some of Christ's promises over yourself to battle against the enemy's foothold. And so it might be declaring, I'm a temple of the Holy Spirit. I am redeemed, cleansed, sanctified. Satan, you have no right to me, no power over me, and no place in me. And taking on that spiritual battle little by little with these other ingredients, you'll experience breakthrough. And some of these chains of self-hatred will break off.
Emma, you're a delightful person. I have to believe that God delights in you greatly. I'm going to send you a Restoration Bible, and I'm so sorry Henry and I messed you up so badly on that Alaska cruise, but let's try to undo some of that.
It was wonderful. It was a gift from my mom. She paid. I went to grooming school, when I was separated from my second husband, and she paid for it, and it was a delight of my life.
I'm glad that you have good memories of that. Hey, we want you to be around for a long time feeling the great things that God wants you to feel about yourself. You're a valuable person. I think you've helped some people just by opening up with this phone call. And I want to send you a Restoration Bible along with Healing as a Choice. You may already have that, but I want you to have another copy of it. If you need help, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And if you can help us, same number.
You know what? We've had a lot of hard calls today.
Have we ever?
Yeah, and so when you're giving to New Life, you're giving to the hope that these folks are going to find help. We can help them find help, and we just want to say thank you to those who are part of Club New Life.
Call us next week. We hope the calls will be a little bit easier. All right. 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you need some help. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again on Monday for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.